Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God. I said praise God, somebody. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm on. Praise the Lord. God is awesome, amen. I love it. I love seeing the dancing. And I love the fact that we had our missionaries here. They're talking about how they're sharing the gospel through multimedia. They're sharing the gospel through illustration. They're sharing the gospel through different ways. We're sharing the gospel through YouTube and Facebook. We're sharing the gospel here in-house. Here's the thing, right? There's no way that you can't share the gospel. There's no way you can't share the gospel. You know what's the only way that you can't share the gospel? If you don't. If you don't. That's the only way that you can't share the gospel. We have our guys' survival night that we do every once in a while. Yeah, I shared the gospel using Batman. Not one, not two, but all three Batmans. Okay? And by the time they left, I think one of them was speaking in tongues. You cannot say that it is hard to share the gospel when God gives you so many creative ways to share it. Amen? Hallelujah. So I praise God. And we are here, guys. Listen, we're in the last leg of the Daniel fast. Last leg, guys. Pastor Shelley, I feel sometimes like he does it on purpose. He puts me right in the middle of the Daniel fast. See, because in the beginning of the fast, you know, you're good. You still got all the energy from the steak that you've been eating the week before. In the middle, you've been eating, like, you know, the same diet as the rabbit. And then at the end, he gets to come up again because he's excited because he knows there's a steak dinner waiting for him. So he's like, put Pastor Raphael up there. He's got energy. He'll be fine. But praise God. And you know, it's so awesome to be in the house of God today, guys. It is so awesome. Because for those of you guys who don't know, you know, typically speaking, I share with you guys, every time my time comes up to minister at the altar, it's like something happens. Something happens, right? And so 2 weeks ago, we get word that my family and I, they were, you know, we get the call, you've been exposed to COVID. And I'm like, oh, not again. So I go and I get tested and everything. And, you know, you get all high and mighty when you're not feeling sick, right? It's just like, just come back negative. Go in there and you're like, you don't know which, you know, you don't know what to open. Because you don't know what test you're going to get when you get there. But I go in, I get the test and everything like that. And then, you know, unfortunately, 2 weeks ago, we ended up, you know, having COVID. And so our quarantine was over last Monday. And I remember feeling this feeling. And I was like, all right, God, I know that the quarantine is over. But I also don't want to be unwise at the same time. And I remember going through the motions of, it was like up, down, left, right, all over the place. Because, you know, when you love God, you want to be with other people who love God, right? But when you love God, you also don't want to hurt other people who love God. You don't want to hurt other people in general, I hope. I'm just saying. But you really don't want to hurt those that you, you know, that you've developed this relationship with. So we were like, there's no way that we're closing the church. Because that's not happening. Because I don't care what the devil says. God says we need not forsake the gathering of the saints. All right? So we did what we needed to do to make sure that we were safe so that you are safe. All right? But this entire week, after God delivered us from COVID, you know the devil's not done. All of a sudden, the asthma starts to creep up. All of a sudden, the allergies start to creep up. All of a sudden, all the pains from surgery start to creep up. You start feeling pain in places you haven't felt pain in a while. You start feeling pain in places that you didn't even know you could feel pain. Right? I'm like, oh, babe, the spot between my fingers hurt. I didn't even know you could feel pain there. But the thing is that the devil's going to continue to try and do things to stop you from doing the work that God has called you to do. And he's going to try and put something in your head that the devil loves to use. And that's a little thing called fear. Fear. Pastor Shelley last week, he touched on the Greek meaning of fear. But I want to talk about the definition as it is in the English language today. And I want you guys to remember this definition, okay? Fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat. So remember that. It's a belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat. Got it? All right. So this brings me to my next segment that I like to call stat time. And in this segment of stat time, I want to talk about a mart that has walls. Remember that? It's a mart that has walls. Some of y'all are going to get it later. And as we talk about this mart that has walls, Felicia's like, click, got it. As this mart that has wall currently has 3,570 super centers in the United States as of the end of 2021. This same mart that has walls receives about 240 million visitors weekly at the end of 2021. Each store, that means, receives about 67,226.89 visits each week, which means on average they receive 9,603.84 visits every day, which means that they receive about 564.93 people visiting every hour. That's based on the time frame in which this mart that has walls is open. So here's the thing. By the end of this service, 1,694.79 people would have visited each of those three marts that have walls that are located in Orange County during this service. 1,694.79, and I know some people are probably like, what do you mean 0.79? How does 0.79 of a person walk into this place, right? That's the men who start walking towards the mart that has walls, and then they realize, oh snap, I left my wallet in the car. So then they go back, and then they get to the car, and they're like, oh man, my wallet's not even here either. I gotta go back home. And then when they get home, God help you, because you know it was enough just to try and get them to go the first time. So that's why it's 0.79. It counts as a visit. We got there. We just didn't go all the way in. So that's how averages work too, just so you know. And I found this quite interesting because that is actually an increase from 2020. From 2020 to 2021, this mart that has walls has had an increase in visitation during this crazy time. But I want to share with you the other side of this coin. By comparison, in the South, there's been a 20% drop in church attendance. In the Northeast, there's been a 27% drop in church attendance. There has been an increase in attendance at that store during the same time that there's been a decrease in attendance at the church. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't care what aisle that you go down. There ain't none of them that's going to offer you Jesus. None of them. As a matter of fact, there's a whole website dedicated to the people of the mart that has walls. And when you go on that website, They need Jesus. Because I'm seeing people go out to that place in outfits that they should not be going anywhere in. But they need Jesus. But when they interviewed these people, when they were getting these statistics, they asked them, well, why is it that you stopped coming to church? And they all had different reasons. But the number one reason was fear. And that hurt me. Because the definition of fear is a belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain, or is a threat. A 20%, 27% decrease in attendance in church because they believe that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain, or a threat. I don't know what Bible they're reading, but that's not what my God says. And here's the crazy thing. How can you believe that you can have fear coming to church, but the wall, the mart that has walls the shop that ain't right, the place that chops everything but prices, all of those places, they're not afraid to go. They don't have fear to go to those places. And when you ask why, they say because it's essential. I've got news for you. Jesus is way more essential than toilet paper. Jesus is way more essential than your food. Jesus is more essential than even water. Because you can last a long time without food and water. We've been doing it for 14 days for a while already, okay? You can do a long time without food and water. I can tell you right now, die without Jesus. And you're going to find out just how essential it was. Because you're going to be wanting a lot of water when you get there. I'm being real. I'm being real. God has given us so many different ways to share this gospel, y'all. So many different ways. And there's a lot of people that are hurting out there. There's a lot of people who need to hear who Jesus is, what he's already done, and what he can do for them in their lives. And we need to stop operating from a place of fear. And so today I want to talk about leaving fear in the rear. I had a different title for this sermon, but then I thought about it, and the Lord said no. And it had the word rear in it. But we weren't leaving the fear. I'm just sorry, Lord. We're not going to talk about it. All right, but are we ready for the word of God today? Yeah. Hallelujah. All right, before we get into it, before we get to prayer, I need y'all to do something. For those of you who are physically able, I need you to be, just get up for a second. I just need you to stand up. All right? What I want you to do is I want you to reach your arms nice and high. Nice and high. And I want you to come out to the side. I want you to bring them down slow. Then I want you to bring your arms back up to the sky. Then I want you to bring them down low. Now I would like for you to sit down and take a seat. Now, everyone look to your left, everyone look to your right. If your neighbor was standing up and they were able to lift their arms up and they were able to bring them down, they can worship God today. They can worship God today. And I do not want you to stay in that chair. I do not want you to keep your hands down if God is telling you something today. Amen? Amen. I just proved it to you. You have the strength to stand up, the strength to bring your arms up and praise God, bring them back down, and then raise it again. Because if this was the 70s and 80s, you were raising the roof like you just don't care. So I want you to be able to do it for Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we give you thanks, oh Lord. I give you thanks, Lord, because you are awesome. You are mighty, Lord God. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would deliver us from the spirit of fear, oh God. And I pray, Lord, that you would just give us the strength, give us the wisdom, give us the ability to share your word, oh God. And let us be able to bring forth only your word this morning, oh God. And that you be the one that is glorified and magnified in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. I didn't even get to the first verse yet. I'm out of breath. Well, praise God. We're talking about leaving fear in the rear. Leaving fear in the rear. So it brings us to Deuteronomy 20, beginning at verse 1. When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt, is with you. The Lord your God, who brought you from the land of Egypt, is with you. This is what I love about God, okay? God doesn't just say, hey, don't be afraid and walk away. God tells you, don't be afraid because I already did something great in your life. And if I already did something great in your life the first time, what makes you think I won't do it the second, the third, the fourth, and we're going to get to a very large number by the time we die? Because God is continuously doing something awesome in your life. And so it goes on, it says, when you are approaching the battle, the priest shall come near and speak to the people. He shall say to them, hear, O Israel, you are approaching the battle against your enemies today. Do not be faint-hearted. Do not be afraid or panic or tremble before them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. God doesn't just promise that he's going to fight for you. God doesn't just promise that he's going against your enemies for you. The promise is he will save you. And if he's gonna save you, the only way he can save you is if he obliterates the threat against you. Because how many of us know in war, you can win a battle, but that doesn't make you safe? You can beat your enemy in the moment, but that doesn't make you safe. God says, I will fight for you and save you. How awesome is God? Hallelujah. Save me, God. Save me, God. Because I've been going through a trial. I've been going through a tribulation this last week, oh God. And I was telling the guys in the back, I was like, one thing you might have going for you today is that I've been sick for a while. The asthma has been kicking in. The allergies have been kicking in. And I might not be able to be as hype as I usually am. Well, the devil's a liar and God is good. I got Cameron and Josh sweating in the back right now. And praise God for it. But God is good. I said, God, help me. And he said, I got you. Right? God save me. I already did. Praise God. See, God's already saved us. He has already saved us. The moment we said yes and amen, he has already saved us. The rest of the time, we just got to believe that he's already done the work. Amen? Hallelujah. And it goes on. We go into 2 Kings 25, beginning at verse 22. Now, as for the people who were left in the land of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had left, he appointed Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, over them. So this is after Nebuchadnezzar has come in. He's laid Jerusalem out. He's taken over. The Babylonians are doing their thing. And he appoints this guy, Gedaliah, over those who are left. And when all the captains of the forces, they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had appointed Gedaliah
governor, they came to Gedaliah to Mizpah, namely Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and Jehohanan, the son of Kareah, and Sariah, the son of Tanhumeth, the Netophathite, and Jazaniah, the son of Maacathite, they and their men. You have no idea how many times I got to listen to this. But it goes on, it says, all these people came as soon as the governor was appointed, right? The king of Babylon appoints this person, and they're like, hold up. We have something to say about that. And it says that God, Gedaliah, when they get there, swears to them and their men and says to them, do not be afraid of the servants of the Chaldeans. Live in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it will be well with you. He says, guys, relax. Let's just chill a second. It's all good. Looking like Terrence in the Christmas play, right? Oh, yeah, hold on. Come on now, God. Right? He says, guys, don't worry about it. Don't fear the servants of Babylon. And he says, all you have to do is serve the king of Babylon and it will be well with you. Right? So he's just saying, just follow the rules, dude, and you'll be good. It's kind of like he's saying, like, with the life that we live right now, right? We all serve God, right? But last time I checked, everybody still follows the law, right? No one has any outstanding warrants for their arrest here today. Don't admit it if you do, because we will have to report you, okay? But he's saying, just chill. Don't worry about it. But, verse 25 says, it came about that in the seventh month that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishma, of the royal family, came with 10 men and struck Gedaliah down so that he died along with the Jews and the Chaldeans who were with him at Mizpah. Now, Ishmael in this situation was jealous because he was a part of the royal family. And he was like, nuh-uh. If anybody should be governor, it's me. So he's like, I'm going to handle the business. He came, and he went to Gedaliah, and he said, right? How many times in our life do we get complacent and not realize that just because there is no storm, that the enemy is taking a nap? Because you see, if you do your research here, you got to do some research on the Jewish manuscripts and stuff for this, but Ishmael was told multiple times that there was a plot against his life. And what was his response? Nah, they won't do it. Nah, it's all good. And do you know what happens on the seventh month? Ishmael actually invites them over for dinner. All of these people. Him and the 10 men. Ishmael's like, oh, this is a nice spread. Sat down. I'm pretty sure they ate the food first. And then they were like, Gedaliah, by the way, stab! Because that's just how they did things back in the day. That's just how they did things back in the day. You know, I'm going to reference a couple of different plays that we've done here during this sermon. Remember when Kenny played the king, right? And they stabbed him in the gut and then they disappeared? That's because of the Bible, all right? The dagger disappears and he went, eh. My son was like playing dead for like 3 weeks after that. But the thing is that he said, yeah, guys, don't worry about it. Right? He said, don't worry about it. Just serve the king of Babylon and everything's going to be okay. And there's a lot of times where the world will try to tell you, hey, listen, don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. You don't have to consult God. Listen to what I'm saying. it's going to be okay. Because God isn't the one who told this guy, Gedaliah, that everything is going to be okay, did he? No, Gedaliah said it was going to be okay. Last I checked, he never checked with God. He never checked with God. And everyone just took his word for it. Oh, it's going to be okay. And the next thing you know, Gedaliah is dead. So what do they do in response? All the people, both small and great, and the captains of the forces arose, and they went to Egypt. Why? Because they were now afraid of the Chaldeans. They let the enemy use fear to drive them away into Egypt. You know things got to be bad when the place that you run away to is Egypt, right? But here's the deal. How many of us have grown complacent in our life where everything just seems like it's okay? And then all of a sudden, a trial hits. And I don't know a lot of people who are actual human beings that live a life of complacency, and then all of a sudden something hits them and they're like, yay! No. Something hits them and they're afraid. Something hits them and they start to run away. Something hits them and they don't know what to do. Why? Because they've grown complacent in the situation. They've grown complacent in the situation. I got news. If you have to pray after the storm, you're praying too late. If you go to Jesus after the storm, you've gone to Jesus too late. Now, I don't want you to go home and pray today and say, Lord, I'm going to bring everything before you today. Because if I bring everything before you today, Pastor Raphael said that I'm never going to have another problem. I didn't say that. It's being recorded. I did not say that. What I'm saying is that if you bring everything that you have in your life to Jesus before the storm hits, when the storm hits, you won't be afraid. That's the key. That is the key. Bring it to God before it happens, and you won't be afraid when it happens. Because there's a lot of full churches that have a lot of empty bodies. There's a lot of full churches with empty bodies because they've been fed an empty promise that because they have Jesus, they have no more problems. That because they have Jesus, that they don't have to worry about anything going wrong ever again in their life. Christianity is not candy and unicorns. Christianity is being equipped for a war. Christianity is the training that God gives you to endure to the end. Because the fact of the matter is, when you don't have Christ, you don't have what you need for this life. And I, listen, one of the biggest lies I've ever heard is because you're a Christian, you shouldn't deal with things like depression or deal with things like anxiety or deal with things like mental health issues. But you don't, if you have those things, what you don't have is Jesus, live from the pit of hell. Because last time I checked, God himself sent me a counselor. God himself sent me a counselor. God himself said he will renew my mind. God himself said that it is okay. It's not that you don't have enough. Just go to him, right? Listen, I was in war. I dealt with the whole PTSD deal, nonsense, all of that. And I had doctors tell me, well, because of all the things that you experience, you'll never be the same. And I said, you know what? You're right, because I experienced God. And since then, I've never been the same. Do I have issues, trials, tribulations? Absolutely. Guess what? It's part of the fallen race. But God is risen. But God is risen. So do not let the issues of this world cloud your judgment, cloud your mind, cloud your promise, and make you so afraid you run to Egypt. When the trials hit and the waves crash in, don't run to Egypt, run to God. Because he can get us through all things. Nehemiah 4, 7 to 20 says, now when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the repair of the walls of Jerusalem went on and that the breaches began to be closed, they were angry. When they heard that the work of God was starting to commence, they got angry. When they heard that the people recognized that they've been ignoring God for too long, they got angry. And all of them conspired together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause a disturbance in it. But we prayed to our God. They prayed to their God before the people came. Before the enemies could get there, they prayed to God. And because of them, we set up a guard against them day and night. When they heard that the enemy was coming, they stood guard day and night. Thus in Judah it was said, the strength of the burden bearers is failing, yet there is much rubbish, and we ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall. Our enemy said, they will not know or see until we come among them, kill them, and put a stop to the work. See, in the beginning it says that they were going to come into Jerusalem and cause a disturbance. But when you wait a while and you let the enemy keep talking, you'll begin to realize the enemy doesn't just want to come into your life and cause a disturbance. No, it says that he wants to come among you, kill you, and put a stop to the work. Because the enemy knows that if there is a true follower of Christ, that the only way that the work can stop is if you stop them by killing them. And it's not that they're going to kill, that you're going to have a physical death per se. But the enemy will try to kill your spirit. He will try to kill the unctioning of the spirit in your life by making you fear coming to church. Isolating yourself, separating yourself, because as long as you're not connected to the rest of the body, you're a cell phone. You may have enough charge to make a few calls for a while, but the longer you stay unplugged, the less power you have. And the less power you have, you get into the reserves of that power. And then it puts you into battery saver mode. And then when you're in battery saving mode, you get this false sense of, oh, wait, I still have enough. No, you don't have enough. But what the devil's going to try to do is make you think that you have enough so that when the time comes where you have to make a 911 call, you got no service. The enemy doesn't want to just cause a disturbance, because when you throw a rock in the water, it gets disturbed, but eventually things settle down. But if you take a boulder and throw it in there, the water can no longer take the place where the boulder's sitting and now has destroyed that area. The only way to continue to do the work is to remove the boulder in your life. And I don't know about you, but I haven't been hitting the gym that much, so I can't lift that much of a boulder, okay? But God can. God can. And it goes on into verse 12. It says, when the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times, they will come up against us from every place where you may turn. They're going to keep trying to tell you, listen, they're coming, they're coming, they're coming, they're coming. And that's up to you whether or not you listen. up to you whether you heed the warning or not. But in verse 13, it shows us. It says, I station the men in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall. The exposed places, I station the people in families with their swords, spears, and bows. They took action. When they heard that the enemy was coming, they took action. They did something about it. They posted the people where they needed to be posted. Where there was weak points, they strengthened those areas. Where there were places where the people were lacking, they strengthened those areas. In verse 14, it says, when I saw their fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of them. Remember, the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters. Fight for your wives. Fight for your houses. He gets up, he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Remember who you serve. Remember the Lord, for he is great and awesome. I'm asking you, is the Lord great and awesome today? If you believe that the Lord is great and awesome, don't isolate yourself. Don't be afraid. No, instead fight. Fight for your brothers. Fight for your sons and daughters. Fight for your wives. Fight for your husbands. Fight for your houses. Fight for what God has given you. Fight by digging into God. Fight by going to God. Fight by remembering what God has done in your life. Verse 15, when our enemies heard that it was known to us that God had frustrated their plan, then all of us returned to the wall, each one to his work. Do you see? The moment that the enemy was foiled, it didn't say that they went back to watch a binge series on Netflix. Mostly because Netflix didn't exist. But it says what? They returned to the wall, each one to his work. When the trial passes, God doesn't say that your work is done. When the trial passes, God says, focus again on what I have for you to do. Focus on the part of the wall that I have given for you to repair. Focus on the part of the wall that I've given to you to care for. Because these are the walls of my city. These are the walls of my temple. And I've given them into your care. Don't let it fall apart. And it goes on in verse 16. And from that day on, half of my servants carried on the work, while half of them held the spears, the shields, the bows, and the breastplates. And the captains were behind the whole house of Judah. In verse 17, those who were rebuilding the wall and those who carried burdens took their load with one hand doing the work and the other holding a weapon. And in verse 18, it tells me, as for the builders, each wore his sword girded at his side as he built, while the trumpeter stood near me. See, while I'm up here doing the work of God, God has called me to be equipped at all times. Now, I'm not saying go out and buy a little sword. But what I'm saying is that this is the physical representation of the sword that each and every single one of you should be wielding. This is a physical representation of the sword that each and every single one of us should be wielding. And while you're doing the work that God has called you to do, that sword better be readily available. That sword better be something that you're able to reach for in the time in which you need it. But here's the thing. It says that while the work was being done, the trumpeter stood near me, right? Why? It says, because I said to the nobles, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated on the wall, far from each other. Far from each other. And it ends in verse 20. It says, whatever place you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. So God, I can't do it. I don't have enough, God. The trumpet is sounding, God. I need help right now, God. I need help. So the trumpet gets sounded. And the people who are on the wall that have the swords and the shields, they come. They come because, God, I can't do it alone anymore. God, I can't do this by myself anymore, God. So sound the trumpet because the sword that I have isn't enough. God, send me a brother. Send me a sister to help me, Lord God. And surround me, oh God, with your people. Surround me with your people, oh God. You see, we've got brothers and sisters doing the work in Australia. We have brothers and sisters doing the work here in Orange County. We've got brothers and sisters in Tanzania. We've got brothers and sisters all over the world. The wall is being worked on all over the place. But the trumpet, when it sounds, we must gather so that our God will fight for us. He's not asking you to swing it. He's just asking you to show up. He's asking you to show up when the trumpet sounds. How many of us have been hearing the trumpet and have been too busy with your own work? And when that trumpet sounds and the enemy passes, it said what? They went back and they went to do the work. They departed and they went back to do the work. And they carried the swords and the shields with them as they went. But here's the deal. One day, the trumpet is going to sound, and they're going to need you to show up with your sword. They're going to need you to show up with your shield. My question to you today, do you have what God needs for you to have to show up? Do you have it today? Or when the trumpet sounds, are you going to show up empty-handed? Are you going to show up without the shield? Because my brothers and my sisters, if you show up with nothing, I have news. You're not part of the attack. You are a stumbling block. You are a stumbling block. My challenge to you today, do not be a stumbling block. Show up when the trumpet sounds. Because the fact of the matter is, when you go out to battle against the enemies and you see that there's more of them, more horses, more chariots, if you have what God has told you to have, you won't be afraid. For the Lord our God, who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, He's with us. He is with us, and He will never forsake us. When you are approaching the battle, the priests shall come near and speak to the people. He shall say to them, "Hear, O Israel, you are approaching the battle against your enemies today. But do not be faint-hearted. Do not be afraid. Do not panic. And most certainly, do not tremble before them." The second you walk out these doors, my saints of God, you're approaching the battle against the enemy. The moment you walk out those doors, you are approaching the battle against our enemy. Are you going with your sword? Are you going with your shield? Or are you going with an empty sheath? Are you going as an empty vessel? Are you going without God? And I know that's a heavy thing to hear. But over this last week, it's something that even myself, I needed to hear. And I know that this is something that God has, that all of us here, those who are online, need to hear. And most of the time, you know, we're addressing the people that are here in the house. But I just want to take a moment. I want to address you at home. I want to address you at home. We see the chats. We see the comments. But God, help us. I want to see you. If you can do it, if you have the strength, if you have the will, I want to see you. Because God's not done with you yet. God is not done with you yet. And I don't know about you, but 2022, I'm not living in fear. I am not living in fear. I will not be faint-hearted. I will not be afraid. I will not panic. I will not tremble before them. For the Lord, my God, is the one who goes with me to fight for me against my enemies to save me. Is God saving you today? Is God going before you today? Well, here's the test. Here's the test. We're gonna rise up. We're gonna stand up. We're gonna leave fear in the rear, and we're gonna worship God today. Hallelujah. Chain breaker.
Hallelujah.
He's a way maker.
Yeah.
If you're lost, he's a navigator. But you need to let him do these things in your life. If you want the chains to fall, if you want the walls to come down, if you want to be able to see where you're going, give it to God today. Do not let fear run your life anymore.
Hallelujah.
But let wisdom take its place in your life. I do not want you to leave this house today the same way that you got here. Today I want you to leave free. I want you to leave lighter. I want you to leave stronger. I want you to leave with the assurance that our God will fight your enemies for you and save you. Lord, we come before you today and we give you thanks. We give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks, oh God, for the weapons in which you have provided for us. We give you thanks that you will fight for us, oh God. But Lord, give us the strength and the wisdom and the courage, Lord, that when the trumpet sounds, that we will gather where you have called us to gather. And that you, oh God, will fight our enemies. And Lord, that when the battle passes and when the trial is gone, that we will return to the work that you've called us to return to. Until that last day when we hear the words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." God, go with us. Strengthen us and use us. In Jesus' name, all God's people say, amen.
Amen.
And amen. Hallelujah.